We are towards the bottom of Kuf Ches Amud Beis. The Mishnah had been discussing, so within the Mishnayos of a Teleka, of a fire that that is occurring. So the first, that's what this parak was about. So we spoke about saving Svarim, we spoke about saving food, we spoke about saving clothing. And the last Mishnah we spoke about was what are you allowed to do to a fire that is spreading. So we had in the Mishnah Machlokas between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yossi on the bottom of Kuf Ches Amud Aleph, where the Tanakama seemed to say Gram Kibui was mutter, that you're allowed to do actions which will definitely cause the fire to go out. You put bottles of barrels of water or kalem of water around the fire so that when the fire gets there, the waters, the kalem will break and the water will go onto it. And Rabbi Yossi said that you weren't allowed to do that if it's kalem that will for sure break. Right, that would be a problem. That would be Gram Kibui, but Rabbi Yossi holds Gram Kibui is still a problem. Okay, that's the machlokas that we had, the Tanakam and Rabbi Yossi. So we're towards the bottom of fourth wide line on Kufchaf Amabez. Asks the Gemara, Rami Drabanan at Drabanan, Rami Drabbi Yossi at Rabbi Yossi. I have a steer between the two Rabbanan to the two Rabbi Yossi. Remember, the Rabbanan in our Mishnah seem to say Gram Kibu is mutter, and Rabbi Yossi seem to say that Gram Kibu is usser. The Tanya, the Braisa says, Haresha Hayashem Kasuv Lo Abasaro. Interesting case, somebody has the Shem Hashem written on his skin. Right? For some reason, he has it written on his skin. As we will, for whatever reason. Person is not allowed to wash, take a regular shower, right, because he's going to get washed off. And he can't anoint himself. And he can't stand in a place, in a halachically dirty place, because it's not kavod for the Shem Hashem that is written on his arm. But if he has a tefilas mitzvah that he has to do, Korech, which is, right, I mean, he's Tameh, and he has to be Tovel. Korech ala gemi viorid betovel. So the Tanakhama says, so he wraps some type of material around it, and he's Tovel. The pashtus of the pashtus that we, the Gemara assumes now is that why are you tying this thing around the arm? In order to block the shame so that it doesn't get erased. So the Havamina is that the Svara for the Tanakhama is that we're worried that it will be erased. Gram, not kibui here, but gram mechika, the causing of it to get erased, would potentially be a problem, and therefore you have to protect against that and cover it up. That's the Tanakama. Rabbi Yossi Omer, la'olam yorid v'tovel kedarko. Rabbi Yossi says, no, don't worry about it, just go and be tovel normally. You just can't rub it so that it comes out, but if it comes off by itself, it comes off by itself. Question mark. What do you see from here? We're talking about gram of an iser. It's not Shabbos anymore, but a gram of a separate, different iser. And from here you see that Rabbi Yossi is not worried about causing an iser to take place, and the Tanakh and the Rabbanan are worried about it. Stira, our Mishnah said that Rabbi Yossi is worried, and the Rabbanan are not worried. So the more answers, don't ask kashas from Hilchas Shabbos to Hilchas erasing Shem Hashem. Shiny Hasam to Amar Kravi Batim as Shmamin Amakomahu. You shall destroy. We saw about Avodah Zarah. You're supposed to destroy the Avodah Zarah from that place, from Eretz Yisrael. Losasim Kein LaHashem Elokeichem. So the but you shall not do that to Hashem your God. And the verb is Asiya. Asiya Hu Da'aser Gramashari. You're not allowed to do that to Shem Hashem, meaning actual direct action, Gramashari, but causing it to take place is Mutter. And that is why, even though Rabbi Yossi says Aser in our Mishnah by Gram Kibui, he says Mutter over there, because there's a special pasuk that there's a drasha that Gram is Mutter. Gwari asks, do you have a similar drasha by Shabbos? Ihachi Hachanami Ksib, also by Shabbos, it says Lo Sa'ase Kol Malacha. It says don't do any Malacha, Asiyahu Da'aser Gramashari. Right? Why don't you say the same type of drasha? Only direct action is usser, but grama would be mutter. It's like, well, my answer is no. Mitok shadam balav amono isharis le'asi lechbuye. No, because Rabbi Yossi again says really it should be mutter, but in our case, there's an extra reason to be usser, because if you allowed him to take everything out of his house and to even do this gram kibui, he might come to do it directly to put it out. Therefore, there's more of a chashash here. That's why it will be us. So that is the answer to the stira within Rabbi Yossi. Why does Rabbi Yossi say in our Mishnah that gram kibui is usser, while over there gram kibui is mutter? Lamaskana, really, it should be mutter. There's an extra reason to usser in our case. Again, all the Achronim here, more than the Rishonim, discuss all the Hilchas Grumma in Kala Torah Kula. You know, in every halachic context, you have to talk about Grumma. You have to talk about Grumma in Hilchas Shabbos, right? Indirect action, which generally is an Issa D'Rabbanan. Here, there are certain Heterim. You have to talk about Grumma by Netilos Yadayim, Grumma by Shechita, Grumma by Nezikin, Grumma by Ritzicha. So, but in every halachic, and sometimes Grumma seems to be considered an act, and you're chai for it. Sometimes Grumma is not considered an act. So you have to look in every halachic context about what the... what the halacha is. This is an interesting case. Oh, I got it here from yesterday. I'm sorry. The Gemara in Beitza. The Gemara in Beitza says on Chav Zayin and Mebeiz, there's a halacha about a bechor. A bechor, if you have a bechor animal, so then you have to give it to the kohen. What happens if it gets a mum in it? So then the halacha is that if it's a mum kavua, if it's a permanent mum, then it's allowed to be eaten. So says the Gemara that there were those that used to try to, by accident, quote unquote, make a mum in their animals, so that, oh, look what happened, ayvei, and all of a sudden then you could eat it. And it's halacha, what if it happens on Yantif? That's what the Mishnah Beis talks about. What if it gets a mum on Yantif? Was it muksa from before Yantif? You didn't have your mind on it. So the Gemara there says, minayin shelo yig, mum lo yebo, ainli ela shelo yebo mum. Minayin shelo yigrom lo al yidei davar acher. How do you know that you're not allowed to cause, to be goreim, to have a mum in your animal? You have a bunch of animals in your field, so you're just going to put a piece of gum or a piece of food behind your bechor's ear, knowing that another animal in the field is going to come and take a little nibble from the ear of his friend, cause a mum to be there, and then, you know, the bechor will be able to be shechted and eaten. So the Gemara says, how do you know that you're not allowed to do this? It's grumma of hatalas mum bekachim. And the Gemara brings a pasuk. So the first pasuk that grumma is aser. So here grumma is asiyud aser, grumma shari. So the Achronim discuss, Rabbi Yosef Engel has a piece on this. You have to know what type of iser you're talking about. Sometimes there are iserim that are focused on the action involved, the maisa iser. The more you focus on the action involved, the more grumma is not going to be included. Because grumma is indirect action. Right, it's indirect. Let's say you have a tarp on your sukkah, and you pick up the sukkah, you pick up the tarp with the rain on it, and the water is going to fall first onto the cement and then onto the grass. Right, that's called grumma. It's indirect. It's grumma of zoreya. Right, so that's also psikresha, which we discussed. But so if you focus on an action, then grumma is going to be excluded. But if the focus of the issur is on the results, you're not allowed to have this happen. Not you're not allowed to do this. You're not allowed to have this happen. Like a mum in your kachim, so then grumma could be included. So again, you have to know what you're talking about. Nezikin, is the problem damaging your friend's property or causing a loss in your friend's property? Right? What is the mechayev of nezikin? So again, all of these halakhic contexts have to be looked at separately. Okay, so back to the Gemara. So the Gemara again had a stira between the Rabbanans and between Rabbi Yosis. So we answer the stira in Rabbi Yosis. So now we say, six lines up, Ihachi Kasha the Rabbanan. So now we have a question on the two Rabbanans. The Rabbanan who say in our Mishnah, you're allowed to put out the fire in an indirect way. And the Rabbanan in the Brisa that we brought, which says that if somebody has a Shem Hashem written on their arm, they're not allowed to go take a shower. They have to wrap the Gemi, they have to wrap the material around their arm to protect that the Shem Hashem doesn't get erased. So you see, Gram is a problem. So the Gemara answers, and it's even more of a problem. Uma hasam to adam bahol amamono shari. Over there, where, but in our case of the fire, where there's a reason to say that it's usher, because we're worried it's going to put out of the fire, still the Rabbanan matarit. Hachalo kol shekein. So surely by the Shem Hashem it should be mutter. So Gemara says, 1 second, Mitzvra. Let's think about this case for a minute. Hi Gemi Hachidami. What did the Brisa say? That if you have the Shem Hashem written on your arm, you can wrap this material around it and then go be tovel in the mikvah. So Gemara says, Ida Mahadik, what are we talking about? Is it tight? Is it wrapped around tight? Kochavi Chatzitza. Then it's a Chatzitza. We know there's not allowed to be any foreign substance obstructing the surface of the skin in terms of getting in contact with the water. Tiny little chatzitzas. So if this is wrapped around, you want to protect from the from getting erased, but that's going to be a chatzitza. The tefillah is not going to work. Ilo mahadik, if it's not tight, aylibe maya, then the water is going to get in anyway. So why are you wearing it on it? So Mimarjach, what's going on here? So the Gemara interjects for a second. Chatzitza, 1 second. Tebekleim Shimtio. What are you worried about? Chatzitza of the material that you put on there. What about the ink itself? Isn't the ink itself, you know, the Shem Hashem, isn't that a chatzitza to the skin? So Gemara says, no, that's not a chatzitza. Balacha. No, we're talking about moist liquid. Moist liquid. The ink is still wet. So that's why it's not a chatzitza. That's what we paskin. Let's say somebody has a little wet woman when she goes to the mikvah, has a little wet blood or wet anything. Wet gook from the eye or wet something from the nose. That's not a chatzitza because we assume that's going to get come off in the mikvah. But if there's crusty material, something that's hardened, that can be removed without hurting, that has to be removed because that's going to be a chatzitza. So here too, we're talking about lacha. So the dio itself, the ink itself is not a chatzitza. The tanya adam ba'adova dvash va'achalav yaveshin chotisin lacham ein chotisin. As long as it's moist and wet, it's not a chatzitza. Fine. End of the interjection. We call makom kasha. But we're still back to the question, the seer and the rabbanan. How can the rabbanan say gram kibui is mutter and gram arasing Hashem's name is aser? So the Gemara answers, Elam Arava Barav Sheila, the reason, the rabbanan say mutter. Gram kibui is mutter. What's that case over there by arasing Hashem's name? Why are you putting the thing on your arm? Nothing to do with gram arasing Hashem's name. Totally different issue. What's the issue? Hayinu tamayel drabanan, the kasabri aser lamod b'fnei Hashem arum. No, the point is you have yud kei vav kei written on your arm, a lot of these bali kabbalah in Los Angeles, right? They write Shem Hashem on them. Bali kabbalah, lahavdil, not bali kabbalah. I shouldn't even use that phrase. The kabbalah, you know, people, they get these Shem, they're walking around with Shem Hashem written on themselves, right? So, but the halacha, the reason that you're putting this on is because you're going to go into the mikvah, so it's not a chatzitza issue, but you don't want to be standing there naked with Shem Hashem, seeing your erva. That's the issue, and that's why you're covering it. So it's nothing to do with gram of any iser, but it's also to stand in front of Hashem. Arum, Michal de Rabbi Yossi saw, it's an interesting kid, it's an interesting opposite case. I saw once in the Poskin, the Minchas Yitzchak has a tshuva about this, that, so this tshuva, where there's talking about a Baal tshuva in Gimel Yiral, Minchas Yitzchak, Dayan Weiss. Ksovis ka'aka mitzmunas isha b'makam hanachas tefillin. Somebody has a tattoo, I think it was a case of a sailor, that's how I heard this, it doesn't say sailor in the tshuva, but a sailor who had some type of tattoo of an isha she'ena tsnua on the makam ha'tfilin. So what do? You got to put your tefillin on your arm, and you have a picture of there of an isha she'ena tsnua, you got to put your tefillin on or not. So that's an opposite case. Here we're worried about Shem Hashem seeing the makam erva. There was talking about erva seeing your tefillin. Right, so the question is it mutter or not? So he talks about, he has a whole tshuva about it. So he says, his maskana is that you gotta cover every, you should buy small tefillin. Tefillin only have to be 2 fingers wide. We have like 4 fingers wide tefillin. But maker adin, they can be 2 fingers wide. So you should have a small pair of tefillin, and you should take a thin cloth, and cover everything else beside the exact place where the tefillin are going. So basically it can't be seen, and then you have to, it can't be a chatzitza by tefillin too. There's not allowed to be a chatzitza between the box of the tefillin, right, the katzitza, and the skin. So therefore you can't have any separation, so you say you should cover it up, except in that spot. But that's, again, an opposite case than this case here. So says the Gemara, again, so the reason for the Rabbanan having to put this material on is to prevent the Shem Hashem from seeing your erva. Mechad Rabbi Yossi Savar, but 1 second, Rabbi Yossi didn't need the gemi. He just said, go into the mikvah normally. Mechad Rabbi Yossi Savar, mutter l'avo v'nei Hashem arim. Rabbi Yossi's not worried about this. You're allowed to go into the mikvah naked. So the Gemara answered, no, demanach yadei ilave. No, you put your hands covering up your makam ha'erva. So the Gemara says, 1 second, l'rabbananami. So why don't the Rabbanan agree to that too? Just put your hand over. So the Gemara says, no, Vishakale. No, maybe you're going to take your hand away, you're going to forget. So the Gemara says, Vishakale. So what's the machlokas here? Could you put your hand on it? Could you put your hand or not? Are you going to forget or not? So what's going on here? The Gemara seems to say the maker didn't a hand would work. The question is, you might forget. So the Gemara answers, El Deika Gemi Hakanami. No, fine. Really, if you have an extra material to cover up, that's the best. Because you would be worried that you're going to take away your hands. The question is, do you have to go search out for their material to cover up the Shem Hashem on your hand? And if you wouldn't have the material right then, you'd even be docha a night of the mikvah. You'll even be docha push or a night or a time period of the mikvah because you're worried about getting this. What's the machlokas about? The following. Rabbanan Savri Tefillah Bezman Alav Mitzvah, a shas machlokas. The Rabbanan hold that Tefillah in its proper time is not a mitzvah. We'll talk about that in a second. Umahadrinan, and therefore you have to go search out for this covering of the Shem Hashem. And even if it's going to delay you a little bit, tough luck. Uvar Biosi Amar. Oh, that's your chiyuv. You have to, because tefillah bezman is not a mitzvah. Rabbi Yossi Safar, tefillah bezman a mitzvah. Veloma hadrina. Rabbi Yossi holds that tefillah bezman is a mitzvah, and you're not. You're even if you can't find a gemi, you got to go to the mikveh anyway. And what could you do? Okay, one ha'ara on the bottom of the previous omer. The Gemara seemed to assume that covering with your hands would be a good covering of the Shem Hashem. Right? I misspoke before. That you would be covering the Shem Hashem, not the Makom HaErva. You're covering the Shem Hashem, so the Shem Hashem doesn't see the Makom HaErva. So this is quoted in the Magen Avram. Interesting case. Nelchas Kriya Shema. I think we all learned this when we were little. When you're not allowed to walk, let's say Dalai Lama's, we had a couple of days ago without a yarmulke. So what do? You can put something else on your head. You can put a shirt on your head. You can do something. What about your hands? Putting your hand on your head. So the poskim said, Shulchan Aruch says your hand's not going to work. Why? Because that's you. There's no difference between you and your hands. So putting your hand on your head, somebody else's hand could work. But your own hand is not going to work. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. The Ramah says in Siman Ayin Dalet. Ask the Magen Avraham from our Gemara. What does our Gemara seem to say? You could use your own hand to cover up the Shem Hashem. So what's the difference? So why aren't you allowed to walk with your hand on your head? What's the answer? Says the Magen Avraham. What's the difference between the case of walking with a hand on your head and that case? It says the Magen Avraham. You're covering the Shem Hashem. The Shem Hashem is not really part of you. It's ink written in, so you're covering it with your hand. To have your hand cover that, that's okay. But if you want to walk with your hand on your head, yad v'guf kulu chad mino. Min b'mino hu eno choseis. That's why your hand and your body is going to be one min, and therefore it's not going to work. Mashenkin, covering up the Shem Hashem with your hand, so that wouldn't be a problem. Oh, so again, so our Gemara is not talking about a tattoo, or else there wouldn't be any chatzis issue, something that's under the skin. But a tattoo, that would be just covered of the shame. That would be a covered of the shame. Okay, so says the Gemara, the Machlokas is about tefillah bezman mitzvah or not. Because again, there are different times, different people that have to go to the mikvah. Anybody who's Tameh, in the olden days, a Yoledes, Zava, which we'll talk about all these cases in a few minutes. So there's a Machlokas, Tanaim, in Yuma, in Nida, whether going to the mikvah in its proper time is itself a mitzvah or not. That's a Machlokas. We say that's Gufa what the Machlokas is between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi holds tefillah bezman is lav mitzvah.
So by Ritzicha,
what about Gram?
Yeah.
About Gram. So the Gemara at the bottom had said that we've left the issue of Grama, because this issue is not about Gram Mechika. So you have to look in all those contexts. The Gemara in Sanhedrin in the Ayins talks about Gram Ritzicha. You know, what it called, what if you put somebody in the sun? What if you put somebody on the train tracks? You know, the Gemara talks about all these cases. Okay. Vesavar, third line. Vesavar Rabbi Yossi Tefillah Bezman Mitzvah. Is it true that Rabbi Yossi holds Tefillah Bezman Mitzvah, and therefore you don't have to, right? That's why the Gemara proved that you don't have to go around and search for the material. V'hatanya, but we have a Tosefta that says the follows. Hazav v'hazava v'hamitzor v'hamitzoras. Zav and Azava, those are people who have spoken about that a little bit in Maseches Brachos. If they have a certain type of emission three times, right, different halachas for Zav and Zava, whether you need 3 days or just three times in 1 day, either way, they are Tamei for 7 days until they have Shiv and Nikim. So they have Shiv and Nikim, that's a Zav and a Zava. Right? That's what the Minog, Bizman Azeh, the halacha is that all women are treated as Zav and Zava whenever they have any Re'iyah. Not more than a Minog. It's Chumr Durav Zera. Hamitzora, or a Mitzora also is Tamei for 7 days, Hamitzoras, a female Mitzora, Boel Nida, Vitamei Meis, or somebody who is Tamei Meis, Tfilasan Bayom, says the Tanakama, their Tfila is on the day, their seventh day. Mida Oraisa, all of these people can go to the mikvah, they count Shiv and Akiyim. In the daytime of the seventh day, they can go to the mikvah. When Shkia comes that night, they are, or when Seiz HaKachavim comes that night, they are Tahora. That is Mida Oraisa, they go to the mikvah during the day. There's an Issa Drabanan to go to the mikvah, because we're worried that they're going to go to the mikvah in the afternoon on their seventh day. They need 7 full days. Then they're going to be with their husbands later that day, and then they're going to see. And then B'mafreya, everything's going to be messed up. So if there's a Dinder Rabbana, not to do this. But Mida Raisa, their tefillah is Vayom. Nida V'yoledes, what about a Nida and a Yoledes? So they're not allowed to go during the day. Tefillasan Balayla. I'm sorry, let me go back a second. Tefillasan Bayom, Rashi explains, even if that day is Yom Kippur. Even if the seventh day is Yom Kippur, you go to the mikvah that day. We're going to see why, because tefillah is mana mitzvah. Tefillah, Nida V'yoledes, a Nida or Yoledes, who have to count 7 clean days before they go to the mikvah. They're not allowed to go the seventh day. This is talking about a Nida da Araisa, which is a woman who's the first time she ever sees, she counts 7 days, no matter, not Nikiyim, 7 days period. At the end of the seventh day, she tries to do a Hefzik Tahara. She tries to do a clean Bedika. So it needed a Raisa and a Yoledes. There's Tfilas of Balayla right after their seventh day. Again, Rashi explains, even if that night is Yom Kippur, because of Tfilah Bezman HaMitzvah. Balkari told the holy kolium kulo a balkari, somebody who has a man who has one re'i of keri, is tovel on that day that he sees the keri, and then that night he will be tahar. Rabbi Yossi Omer, so that's the Tanakama. So what do you see from the Tanakama? You even allowed to go to the mikvah Yom Kippur, which is mashma. The Tanakama holds tefillah b'zman mitzvah. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi says no. Min mincha l'mala eino tzorach lipur. Rabbi Yossi says no. If late afternoon on Yom Kippur already, you know the balkari should not go to the mikvah. Why? Because you just go that night. So what is the Gemara assuming that Rabbi Yossi used to say you're pushing off this tefillah? It must be because Rabbi Yossi holds tefillah b'zman lav mitzvah against what we just said. We just said the machlokas between the Chab and Rabbi Yossi is about tefillah b'zman mitzvah, and Rabbi Yossi says it is mitzvah, and from this price he used to say it's not a mitzvah. So the Gemara answers that he Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda he the Amar Dayel tefillah b'achrona. No, that's Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda. Not there are two different Rabbi Yossis. That's Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda, who said in Gemara in Nida, those of you who started the daf last cycle had said that let's see, there's a unusual case, a woman comes, she was pregnant, she had a baby, she doesn't remember when she had the baby, you don't know how long ago she had the baby, was she a Zava when she had the baby, was she a Nida when she had the baby. So Tanakama there says she requires 35 tevilos, because tefillah was not a mitzvah, and you're not sure exactly when she requires a tefillah, so you have to dunk it 35 times. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, just wait till the ending time and do the last one. Why? Tefillah was not a lav mitzvah. So that's what the Mishnah Gemara says, the Rabbi Yossi that says tefillah was not a lav mitzvah is this other Rabbi Yossi. But Rabbi Yossi really on top says tefillah was not a mitzvah. Okay. By the way, what are we passing about tefillah was not a mitzvah? So in general, we don't do tefillah was not a Bismana anymore, really. Because we, well, nowadays, halacha is, according to Shulchan Aruch, that any drop of blood, a woman waits Shiva Nikiyim, which is, you need 3 days to be a Zava, but we treat every woman like a Zava Gadola. So do we pass, is there a kadu of tefillah Bismana mitzvah or not? So the Shulchan Aruch says yes. Shulchan Aruch says, even in on our lower level, Bismana, there is still a concept of tefillah b'zman mitzvah somewhat, to go to the mikvah ASAP, to not push it off at all, le'inyin, to being with one's husband. So that's what the Shulchan Aruch says, we pass the tefillah b'zman mitzvah as long as, let's say, the husband's out of town, then she doesn't have to go to the mikvah that night. As long as the husband's in town, the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchas Nida, Kufsadik Zayin, imba'ala ba'ir, mitzvah lipo b'zmana. And that's what all poskim always try to do, and that's what it should be in the mentality of every husband and wife, that the tefillah should never be pushed off needlessly. There are always ways to do it, even if you have a wedding that night, even if you have this and that, there's always mikvahs near the wedding, you always got to try to work it out. But that's the halacha. We try to pass tefillah b'zman mitzvah when it's in terms of baila. Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, we do not go to the mikvah. So that's why, even though we say tefillah b'zman mitzvah, we don't. We say that the husband and the wife are not allowed to be together on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, or if one of them is an avelus. So therefore, she does not have to go to the mikvah, not allowed to go to the mikvah on those nights. Next Mishnah. Mishnah says, Nachri Shabalachabos. So a non-Jew doing work. So tomorrow's daf is going to be a lot about Amir La'akum. So we're going to get into some halachas of Amir La'akum tomorrow. Today, we have some lundas about it. Nachri Shabalachabos. Let's say, again, the Mishnah of the Perek is all about fires. Let's say there's a fire going on, and a non-Jew comes walking along, and he's going to put out your fire for you. So the Gemara Mishnah says, Ein Omer Lo Kabei. You're not allowed to directly tell him, extinguish. Right, extinguish my fire. You're not allowed to do that. Because Amir La'akam, Rashi says, V'atachabeh, and if he starts putting out the fire, you don't have to tell him, stop putting out the fire. Because he's not, his resting is not in mitzuvah upon you. He's doing malacha. We'll talk about that in a minute. So you're not allowed to tell him to extinguish, but once he's doing it, you're not allowed to tell him not to extinguish. You don't have to tell him not to extinguish. But if a katan is extinguishing, then a katan Jew, then you have to stop him because he's mitzuvah. You're mitzuvah to not have him do averus. Okay, a number of points on this Mishnah. First of all, Amir La'akam. We mentioned all the way at the beginning of Masechta Shabbos, what's the makor or the svara for Amir La'akam? So Rashi here at the beginning of Gemara, which we'll see in a minute, I don't know why this one isn't quoted as much. There's a Rashi at the end of Masechta Shabbos that's quoted, and that is because the guy is your shliach. Guy is your shliach. Amazing. Usually a guy is lav bar shlichus, says in Masechta Kedushin. But there seems to be, at least according to these two Rashis, there's a concept of shlichus l'goy l'chumra. Meaning if you tell a guy to do a malacha for you, even if not, if you arrange it, various halachas of Amir La'akam, he's your shliach, and therefore, you're not allowed to do that. That is one svar of Amir La'akam. It's a big chiddush that Rashi says that, but that's what two Rashis say. The Rambam in Hilchot Shabbos says, you know why Amir La'akam is usher? Gzeir, you might come to do it yourself. If you come, if you tell a guy to do a malacha for you, the Rambam says, Shema Yasa Ba'atzmo. That's number two. So you have Rashi, Shliach, you have the Rambam who says Gzeira. There's a Rashi in Avodah Zarah, which, if you look in the Goyan Ashasi, or Rabbi Akiva quotes it, Ayin Rashi Avodah Zarah. The third opinion, Rashi says, Mimso Chepsecha V'daber Dover. Right? It's fascinating. It's not Shabbos dick. And you're not supposed to be talking about Malachis on Shabbos, which might make a difference whether you tell them before Shabbos, according to this reason. And finally, the fourth one is the Smag. This one I just saw recently. The Smag, one of Sefer Mitzvahs Gadol, which is one of the Rishonim. He quotes a Mechilta, which seems to say it's based on a Pasuk. Lo sa'aseh kol malacha. Read it for you. Lo sa'aseh kol malacha. Kol malacha yasa behen. Lo sa'aseh ata. Lo yasa chavercha. Lo yasa agoy malachtecha. Mikan she'asa l'Yisrael aniyach goy la'asas malachto. Bein b'yantot bein b'shabes. Do'oraisa. Most poskim say it's not Daraisa. The Beis Yosef assumes that it's, we all assume it's Durabanan, because there's a malacha view is Durabanan. But these are four svaras for Amir La'akam. Shlichus, Gzeira, Mimso Chepzcha V'Dabar Dabar, and Losasa Komalacha, the Mechilta, which the Smag quotes. Okay, Rashi here says Shlichus at the beginning of the Gemara. That's A on the Mishnah. B on the Mishnah. We usually paskin that Amir La'akam, you're not allowed to have a guy do a malacha for you. And even if you don't ask him, if a non-Jew walks into a room and you're sitting there in the dark, and he sees you're trying to read, and he puts the line up for you, you know what? You got to leave the room. You don't want to get Hanoah from Malach, unless he's doing it for himself also, which we'll talk more about that tomorrow. So the Ritva here says, when there's a fire in your house, there are certain other heterim, more than usual cases. That's why we're going to see certain heterim in the Gemara here, which don't apply to other malachas. But zaleika hitiru, there's a fire in your house. Usually a guy's not allowed to do a malacha for you. Even if you don't say a word to him, if he does a malacha for you specially, you can't do it. So then, but here is a case, it's different because it is a case of a fire. That's part number two on the Mishnah. Finally, number three, the Vilna Gaon on our in Shulchan Aruch proves something from our Mishnah. The Rama quotes in Hilchas Avodas Kochavim in Kuf Nun Zayin that we know that for Mitzvah Aseh there are limits. Mitzvah Aseh there are limits how much money you have to spend. Right? You have to spend a fifth, you have to spend whatever it is, Hidur Mitzvah. You have to spend, there are limits. You don't have to spend all your money to buy an Esrog. You know, you don't have to go crazy with it. Los assays, you have to give away all your money to not violate a los assay. Right? The big three, if somebody says anything, be Michal Shabbos or I'm going to take all your money. Stuff like, you got to take all your money. You have to give away all your money to not violate a los assay. That's what the Ramah says in Simen Kufnun Zayin. Says the Vilna Gaon on that Ramah, what about an Isser Durabanan? You have to give away all your money to raise up and violating an Isser Durabanan. Says the Gra, look at our Mishnah. Our Mishnah. Putting out your fire would be a malacha shesrich lagufa, right? It would be us. You're not putting out your fire to create coals. You're doing it to save your stuff. You can't even tell the guy to put it out, right? I tell him the guy to put it out. We'll also be an Issa Drabanan. So the Gra proves from our Mishnah that even to prevent yourself from violating Issa Drabanan, you have to give away all of your money. And this is also interestingly quoted by the Chafetz Chaim and Sefer Chafetz Chaim. Right, Sefer Shmiras HaLashon is the Musar Sefer about Lashon Hara. Sefer Chafetz Chaim is the Halacha Sefer. So in there he says, even if people are going to think that you're not normal if you don't speak Lashon Hara, and you have to be part of the guys, and you're going to lose your job, and it's going to be terrible, and you have to schmooze as part of being whatever, fill in the blank. Chafetz Chaim says, it's us, sir. You have to give away, you have to lose your job. Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara includes about 15 Averis, 20 Averis. So it says the Chafetz Chaim in Sefer Chafetz Chaim that even if you work in your job setting is such a, they're all pirates and they're all talking about these things, you can't do it. And if it means you're going to lose your job, you're going to lose your job. And if you're in that position, you probably should change professions. But I think most professions don't have to, you don't have to do this. But anyway, it says the Chafetz Chaim is based on that Vilna Gaon. I'm sorry. What's the issue of the katan? We'll get to the katan in a few minutes later in the Gemara. So just hold off for a second. So let's get to the Gemara. Let's do the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Ami. Bitzaleiki hidir loma kabachabeinu mafsid. Rabbi Ami, amazing chiddush. Rabbi Ami says, you're allowed to stand outside your burning house and say, whoever extinguishes this fire is not going to lose anything. That's what you're allowed to do. You're not allowed to tell somebody to do it for you. But you can say this lashon of kol mechaba eino mafsid. So it says the Gemara, name a Messiah. Let's try to prove that our mission is like him. Our mission says you can't tell him to extinguish. You're not allowed to tell him to extinguish. So we're medai that you can say this funny lashon. You can't tell him to do it, but you can say, whoever does it doesn't lose anything. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Look at the next line of the Gemara. Seems to be against Rabbi Ami. You're not allowed to tell him, you don't have to tell him to stop. But if you could even tell him this other lashon, that's a bigger chiddush. Right? The Mishnah says you don't have to tell him to stop. But there's an even bigger chiddush by Rabbi Abi. Tell him. That seems to be against Rabbi Abi. So the Gemara says, El behol lekel mashra mina. So our Mishnah doesn't prove either way for Rabbi Abi's statement. Tana Rabbanan Maisa benaflo deleika b'chazir shal Yosef ben Simai. There was a story that there was a deleika fire in this Yosef's house. Chatzer. Besichen in Sichen. Ubao achi gister shal tzipori l'chabos. And the army of Tzipori came to be mechabeit, because this Yosef used to work for the king, he was the king's treasurer, and they wanted to make sure that nothing happened to this man, so they came to put out the fire. Velohi nichon, and he didn't let them put out the fire. He didn't let them put out the fire. V'nasa lo neis, v'yardu geshamim v'kibu. And all of a sudden it started pouring, and the fire went out. A nace happened. La'erev, meanwhile that night, Shika l'kolach my hand, Shtei Slayim. Meanwhile that night, he sent them all, you know, some money, because he wanted to show their appreciation for coming, even though he didn't let them put out the fire. U'lafarka shaban chamishim, and he sent to their officer, you know, 50 coins. U'kshashamu chachamim b'davar, when the chachamim heard about this story, Amru, what they say? Lo'hayitzarach l'kach. He didn't have to stop them. Right, what did the Mishnah say? Shari shaninu, we learned, Nachi shabal l'chavet, inamram l'kabib al-tachabet. He didn't have to stop him. So Maker Adin, he sees the goal of Nimashuras Adin. Rabbi Yaakov Emden in the back of the Gemara says, really, he did it. He was on a different level. He was a tzaddik. He was a chassid. So for him, he wanted to be machmir. But in general, you know, nobody should be machmir. There's too many problems that could come up, you know, if somebody disallows this. And also, he says, why did the Chachamim get so excited and write in the Gemara? He didn't have to do this. Why did they do the mafarsim it? Because they wanted to make sure people know that this is mutter. They wanted to make sure, because they didn't want people, somebody to do this, and then people say, oh look, he's Mechal Shabbos. Oh look what he allowed. No, it's mutter. This Rav, this Yosef, went above and beyond. But really, the halach is that it is mutter. Okay, if a non-Jew was doing something, again, in the case of the fire, you don't have to stop him. Again, other cases, we'll talk a little bit more about tomorrow. The Maisa cases of Amir La'akam. But in this type of case, it is mutter.
Jewish farming?
Jewish firemen, yeah? What about Jewish firemen? Again, I said, Bisman has came out all fires of Sakana Sofajus. Right? The houses are so close together. So, you know, and nowadays it's Sakana Sofajus. So that's why it's, again, the Ritva and the Ramah talk about it has to be real Sakana Sofajus. But I think we assume that the houses are so close together and there's trees and things could spread so quickly. So we assume that it's all Sakana Sofajus Lamaisa. Okay, says the Gemara. Second, last line of the Mishnah. If a katan is doing a malacha for you, then you have to stop them. Different than a goy. A goy, he's not mitzuvah. You're not mitzuvah on his resting, but a katan, you are. So the Gemara says, Shemas mina katan ochel nevelos. That's a mitzuvah on afrisho. Is this coming to? Does this Mishnah mean to say that if a katan is ochel nevelos, that's the lashon of in the Gemara in Yevamos, where a katan is doing an aveira? Has to separate him from stopping from doing the aveira. That's a major machlokas there. If you see a little 4-year-old on the street doing an aveira, do you have to stop him? He's a kohen. He's not going to get punished anyway. So do you have to stop him? That's a major machlokas. I'm a rhyme there. And in Yevamos. So says the Gemara, it sounds like from our Mishnah that Bezim Mitzuvah Lafrisha isn't our Mishnah Araya. Why doesn't that Gemara bring our Mishnah as Araya that Mitzuvah Lafrisha? Because it says here, you're not allowed to, right? He has to not, you have to stop him from doing the Malacha. So I'm Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan says, no, our case is different. But Katan Ha'osel L'das Aviv. Our case is the Katan doing it. L'da'as, knowing that his father's going to be happy about it. Rashi here says a little bit, but Rashi in Yevamos is a little more expansive, where the kid sees his father, and he sees his father's face, that he's happy that this is occurring, and he knows that this is going to make his father appreciate it, so it's as if the father had told him to do it. It's as if the father's doing it. That's why it's a problem here. But in general, if a kid is not next to his father, and it's an issue of whether Bezdin has to stop him from doing it, and the kid's doing it on his own, that's where there's a discussion whether Bezdin has to be mitzavim lafrisha or not. But if he's dafka doing it, will shame the father, so then that is a problem. Let's just do the next two lines. So the Gemara says, one second, our Mishnah contrasted a katan and a nachri. So we're saying now, in our Mishnah, the katan is doing it, will shame the father, and therefore it's usher. But the Mishnah says the nachri is mutter. So if a nachri is doing it for the Jew, it's mutter. So what's the contrast? Is that mutter? That's not mutter. So the Gemara answered, no, Nachri l'dati d'nafshi avi. No, Nachri is always doing things for himself also. He wants to get paid back. He wants you to think well of him. He's not doing it purely to shame the father, and therefore it wouldn't be the same thing. Yeah? So how old is the katan? So there are two important points in Tosfos here, the bottom Tosfos, Shmamina. The first point Tosfos says is that it's mashma from this Gemara that even by the Nisud Rabbanan, We're talking about an issa derabanan here. It sounds like there's even a mitzvah alav lahafrisho. That's his mitzvah. And we don't paskin that way. So Tosis gives it a kimta. We must be talking about some issa daraisa. Maybe it's like Rabbi Yehuda, who says Makos Shinsuk Lugupis Chayiv, or some other issa daraisa. Because we usually paskin that by a derabanan, this is Tosis Shita, you don't have to be mafreshim from the issa. That's first half of Tosis. Second half of Tosis, third wide line, Venera demari bekatan shalohi gielachinach. We must be talking about a case of a katan who doesn't know. He just knows that the father appreciates it. But he doesn't know halacha. Because if it's a better kohen, then you're b'chayav to be mechanechim. So of course you have to be mafreshim from the aveira. So that is 2 points in Tosfos. Okay, there's an important, there's a little siman in Shulchan Aruch, but it's a very important siman. You have time to look at it later today. It's 2 pages. Shin Mem Gimel, where it talks about this haladine katan b'shabbos. What do you? We always say, oh, we said the light was left on. No, so you put your baby in front of the light, then you hope that they turn it off and on. Or like we try to push the hand, and we say, oh, he did it. We have to be very careful that the cotton is not just a tool or a pawn in our hands. We like take their hand and like rub. If they do it themselves, maybe you put a kid in front of the light. But again, it has to be very young that they don't understand anything. So says the Gemara, says the Shulchan Aruch. That's what we paskin. A bezin, you don't have to stop him from doing the iser. Aval aviv, bezin doesn't have to stop him, but the father mitzuba ligerbo lahafrisho. The Rama says miiser daraisa, and you're not allowed to give him an iser directly. A lot of halachas. Again, what averus are we allowed or must stop our child from doing? The Mishnah Berurah here has a very strong lashon. Upashut. If you hear your children speaking lashon hara, mitzvah ligar b'hem u'la'afrisha mizeh, v'chemi machlokes v'sheker v'klalos, u'ba'avonoseinu harabim kama nichshalom b'zeh. Many people are nichshalom this. Shem anichem l'vneim u'dabar lashon hara. They let their kids speak lashon hara, rechilos, they're just kids. Don't worry about it. V'nasa mergal, they become used to it, so that even when they get older and they hear something, it's very difficult for them to stop. Because whatever they get used to when they're kids, you know, that's what they do. So again, you have to know balance. Again, child rearing is one of the most difficult jobs that we have. So, but we got to know what the halach is and what's best for the child. Yeah. According to Tosfos, that this is talking about a daraisa, would it be a proof like the gra? Maybe not. If he says the whole mishnah is talking about a daraisa, correct. Okay, weiter in the next mishnah. You're allowed to bring a bowl to go over a fire so that the fire doesn't get to the roof. Obviously, not totally closing off all the air so that it goes out, because that would be mechabit directly. That would be extinguishing. But you're just putting a cover on so that it doesn't the fire doesn't get to it. Right? We had the sugya all the way back on Daf Mem Gimel. It says on the side. Right? We had it on Yontif. It was about. Because it was spoken about whether you're allowed to move a kli l'tzarech adavar hamuksa. So therefore here, we brought this as a proof that you're allowed to. The atzoah shall katan, and you're allowed to bring carve something to cover up the tzoah, the excrement of a katan, which we'll talk about in the Gemara, the al-akrav shall tishach, to cover up a scorpion so it doesn't bite you. Amr Yehuda, Maisa Balfei Rabbi Yochanan Vezaka Be'erev, Vamr Choshen Elam Echatos. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, I heard this story happen, and I said to myself, you know, I was worried that this was a chi of chatos, meaning in this is daraisa. Why is Rabbi Yehuda saying this? Rabbi Yehuda holds malacha shenis v'kulu gufis chayif. Right? You do the malacha for a different purpose than what was done in the Mishkan, right? Or other definitions of malacha shenis v'kulu gufis chayif. See here too, Rabbi Yehuda says he's worried. Obviously, there's no sakana safashis here, or else Rabbi Yehuda would agree too. But the whole heter of akrib shlo tishach is based on malacha shenis v'kulu gufa. That's why Rabbi Yehuda says chayif. Is it not? So if it's sakara tafashas, we're going to talk about animals chasing after you on the base. But the assumption has to be that there's no sakara tafashas here, or else Rabbi Yehuda would agree too. Okay. Good. Also, the Bir Halacha talks about, why does it say choshesheni mechatas? It should be chayef chatas. Okay, we're going to look it up. Next, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Chana Baraba, Rabba Iqbal, Rabbi Avin, Rabbi Nishika. These three Amoraim went to visit Rabbi Avin. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Abba, Aisulei Puryasa. So two of the Amoraim that came to visit, they brought a nice couch to lie on. Rabbi Chana Baraba, lo Aisulei. They didn't bring him one. See, he was sitting on the floor. The host didn't think he was chashiv enough to get a couch. So one of them sat on the floor. So the one who was sitting on the floor heard the host talking to his son, to the host's son, and saying the following, the Al-Soa shall katan b'bnei katan. Right? The Yerlata covered the soa of a katan b'bnei katan, adding in those two words, because of a katan. In other words, to prevent, because the katan is going to, your two-year-old or is going to go around and play with everything they see. So you don't want them to playing with the soa, obviously. So you let it bring something to cover it up. So Amalei, so the one sitting on the floor who was kind of upset that he didn't get a chair, he says, Avin Shatya Masni Shtusa Lebnei. right? The dumb Avin is telling a shtus mission to his son. He says, what do you mean you're doing this for the katan? What do you mean? It itself, the tzoa itself is muchan leklavim, is muchan, it's prepared for dogs. What does that mean? Rashi here says that it itself is muksa. So what do you need to, it itself is not muksa, because dogs would eat it. So why do you need to bring a kli to cover it up? Just move it away directly. That's how Rashi interprets the Gemara. The Sfasemis has another way to interpret the Gemara. That's how Rashi interprets the Gemara. You just move it yourself. And even if you want to say, it wasn't here yesterday. Say it's nolad, right? It's muksa. So right, the katan just, you know, did it today. So v'hatanya, but no, it's not nolad. Why? We have the following principle. Naharas hamoshkin u'mayinos hanoven harei karagli kaladam. We have the principle that, let's say, rivers and springs where the water is flowing by, we say that's not nolad, even though it wasn't here yesterday before Shabbos, even though this water came from outside the tchum. But what's karagli kaladam? The way Rashi here explains it is that because this is the normal way events occur and it's expected, and you know this water is going to be here, and you know it comes from the mountain and goes down and comes into the river, it's not nolad. You know it's here. So therefore, so too here. The principle is, you know the child's going to go to the bathroom. Every child goes to the bathroom every couple of hours. So therefore, it's not muksa. So therefore, therefore, it's not muksa. And therefore, he asked the kasha on this host. What's the limit of this? What if you hear the forecast that it's going to snow? You know, is that enough? And it snows on Shabbos, and you expect, it's expected. So I think normal, you know, normal, regular, natural occurrences, things that flowing water, to say that the water is going to stop is different than to say that the forecast is going to be wrong and it's not going to snow. You know, there are different limits. Oh, we're going to talk about an egg in a second. We'll talk about an egg in a second. Good question. Let's just finish the line. Ela hechi asne. So, asks the host to the guest. You know, okay, so big shots. You know, so tell me what the shot is in the Mishnah. So it's not muksa. So therefore, you should be able to move it directly. So the Mishnah says you're allowed to cover the soul of the katan. So what's pshat? So the Gemara says ema al soa shel tana golem b'nei katan. No, it means the soa of chickens, which is not good, and dogs wouldn't eat this. Rashi says b'nei katan because you don't want the katan playing with that. So that's where it is muksas. The Gemara says, one sack of a table they have a graf shel rei. Learn it out that it's what's called graf shel rei, which means if you have something disgusting sitting in your living room, there's a hetzer, even though it's muksa, it has no use, you're allowed to take it out. So let's say you have a garbage bag, your kitchen's getting full, you have to change the garbage. So why are you allowed to put the garbage outside? It's no use, isn't it, muksa? The answer is graf shel rei, meaning it's disgusting sitting in your kitchen. So you're allowed, you have to make sure not to tie the bags, because that's kshira, but you're allowed to take it outside, graf shel rei, so here too. So it's sitting, it's muksa, so again you can move it directly. Why do you have to bring something to cover it up? And if you want to say you can only move a graf shel rei indirectly, in the kli, but you can't do it directly, that's not true. There was a certain mouse that was found in the spice rack of a Rashi. He said, grab it by its tail and put it outside. Meaning you could touch the graf shel rei directly. So therefore, again, we're back to the kasha. If you could touch the graf shel rei directly, so why? What is the Mishnah talking about? That you're bringing something to cover it up so the katan doesn't play with it. Just take it outside. So my answer is ba'ashpa. No, you don't have the heter of graf shel rei because it itself is in the garbage outside already. So the Gemara says, v'katan ba'ashpa my boy. My boy, like, so what's that? What are you worried? Your cotton's going to be outside by the garbage. So mimanoshach. So why are you covering it? The Gemara said no b'chatzer. No, it's in your backyard. So the cotton will play there. So the Gemara said chatzer nami graf shel rei. So back to the other question: if it's in a place where people hang out in your backyard, then it's in graf shel rei, and you can move it away directly. So the Gemara finally answers ba'ashpa shebachatzer. No, the side of your field you have this garbage place where the cotton might go to, but it's not enough in the place where you usually use. So that you will be able to move it because of the heter of graf shel rei. You don't have the heter of graf shel rei, but you will be able to cover it to prevent the katan from playing with it. And that is the case of the Mishnah. Ask the Rabban on this Gemara what Josh just asked. And that is, you know, there are Gemaras in Beitza which seem to say that if an egg comes out, if you have a chicken that's about to lay eggs, so it's muksa when it comes out on Yontif. First Mishnah in Beitza, Beitza Shnol de Yontif, Machlok with Mishnah and Beis Hillel. Don't you know that it's going to come out? You know the chicken always lays eggs. So interestingly, so he quotes a Balamar. He says the Balamar says no. Maybe we're talking about a chicken that's omedes lagadol beitzin lafrochen. No, he usually lays his eggs in order to have its chicks, right? Not to eat. So therefore, it's their muksa. So the Ramban sarcastically says v'zeha pirish muksa. That pirish is muksa. Meaning, you know, away, the pshat is muksa. So and he asks 10 questions on him. That's how he starts off the rejection. V'zeha pirish muksa. The Rabban himself answers that no, he says, I think that whenever you have food. Whenever you have food, you know, keep it the gufa. Well, first he says keep it the gufa shaltanagolas asura, because the chicken itself is muksa. Then anything inside the chicken when Shabbos starts is called part of the chicken. That's the issue. It's not as much nolad in that this is part of the chicken when Shabbos starts, and it can't change just because it comes out of the chicken. A. And what about later on? We're going to see mishnayos about shells and bones of things left on the table. They become muksa. Why aren't you thinking about this? You want to give this to your dog? So this says the Ramban again, when you have food, you always think about the ikker part of the food. You don't think about the tuffel, the secondary part of the food. But either way, the egg thing is brought up by the Ramban and our Gemara. Okay, three more minutes. The Mishnah said also that you're allowed to cover up a scorpion so it doesn't bite you. Amr Shimon ben Levi, kol mazik neharag b'Shabbos. So this is the Gemara about killing dangerous animals on Shabbos. So ol mazikin, Rashi changes this, not changes it, explains it as horgin. Animals that kill you are allowed to be killed on Shabbos. Are they running after you or not? We'll get to that in a second. Masav Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says, Kasher, Rav Yosef asks from a Braisa. Chamicha ne'eragon b'Shabbos ve'elohein zvav shabar v'sim zvayim v'tzira sheb'ninvei v'akrav sheb'ched yovedacha sheb'eriz Yisrael v'kalav shodim b'chol makom. Rav Yosef quotes this Braisa that says, these five animals could be killed. Mashman, no others. That's the kasha. Mani, Ilim, Rabbi Yehuda. Are we talking about Rabbi Yehuda? If it's Rabbi Yehuda, so you shouldn't be able to do it to any. Because again, you're not killing because you want the animal. You want the animal hides or something, but you just want it. Don't want it to hurt you. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, it should still be chayiv. Elolav Reb Shimon. It must be Reb Shimon is the one that allows you to kill these five animals. Vahani hu d'shari after ilo. Mashman, that only these five are mutter and others are not. So how could the first line, how could Rabbi Yehuda ben Levi say you're allowed to kill all animals that are dangerous? So who says that it's an authoritative, accurate brisa? Maybe you got the Mesorah wrong. Maybe it's a messed up brisa, and it's not accurate. Why? Because Rashi explains, if it's not a Tosefta of Reb Chiya and Reb Oshia, maybe it's incorrect. So Omer Rav Yosef says, no, I got it right. I have a correct Mesorah. I know it's a correct brisa, but you know what? I have an answer. One, why, how does one say only five and the other one say all animals? The difference is if they're running after you. If they're running after you, it makes a difference. Machlokas here, Rashi and Tosos, you know, which case is the one that they're running after you? So we'll say Rashi, and then you can look at Tosos, he gives the other shot. Rashi says, if they're, the case of Rabbi Shua ben Levi, that you could kill any of them, that's the one they're running after you, that you could kill any of them. But it's a dangerous situation right now. The other one, we can only kill those five you could kill even if they're not running after you. And that's Malach HaShirin Tzichel Gufa, according to Reb Shimon. Tony Tanakami Rabba Barafuna. There was a brisa that was said in front of Rabba Barafuna, and it said, whoever kills snakes and scorpions on Shabbos, the Chasidim, the Ruach Chasidim, are not noche, aren't happy with that. So Amalei, so Rabba says, upon hearing this brisa, those Chasidim in Ruach Chachamim noche mehem. Those Chasidim who are machmir, the Chachamim don't like what they say. In other words, what do you mean? It's a good thing. So you say the Chasidim aren't happy with this brisa, the Chachamim are not happy with those Chasidim. Meaning it's mutter. Upligid Rafuna, and this Rava is against Rafuna. Rafuna chadilu gavet the katil zibura, because Rafuna saw somebody who went over to a hornet or to a wasp that wasn't bothering anybody, that was just on the side. Armalei shalom tina lukulu, he went up to him and said, did you kill all the hornets in the world? In other words, if it's not bothering you right now, and it's not dangerous, then, you know, what's it going to help to kill one of them? So he wasn't happy with that action. One more minute. So what happens if a snake and a scorpion come in your way on Shabbos? Hargan, if you were able to kill them, so you should know that it was Siyata Deshmaya, Hashem sent these animals to you to be killed so they don't bite anybody else. Lo hargon, if they just came to you and then they went away without hurting you, biyaduah is damnu lahargo, you should know that they were coming to kill you. V'nasa lo nes b'nashemayim, and a nes happens and you were saved. Amar ula became a rabba barafuna chana barchana amar biyochana b'ni shofinbo. This only applies if they were hissing when they came. They were hissing when they came and they were like ready to attack, so that would be a problem. Amar biyabba barchana pamachas rabba lachal beis medrash. One time there was a snake or a scorpion that was in the beis medrash. V'amar nipsiach lahargo, and somebody got up and killed the snake. Rebbe said, a snake killed a snake. So nobody knew. Pagabu Kayotiba the Shapar Avidalo. So was he complimenting him or was he insulting him? Right, a snake killed the snake. See what they weren't sure. So Tashma, they said, Rabbi Abba braid the Rabbi Chia bar Abba Rabbi Zeira Rabbi Yasi vakilo de Rabbi Yanai. One time, the Shlomo Rav was sitting on the porch of Rabbi Yanai. Nothing milsa bibinayu. So the following discussion started. Bo minir Rabbi Yanai. Ma'ala harog nachashim akram b'Shabbos. Are you allowed to kill nachashim and akraben on Shabbos? Amar lahu sirani horig nachash v'akrab l'choshekin. I even kill wasps. So of course you're allowed to kill them. So it's mashma. We assume that the Rav who made this announcement was happy with what the person did. So Gemara says, maybe there's no raya. Dilma lafi tuma. Maybe this Amora, Rabbi Yanai, was never said you could kill directly. It just means that you could, like, trample on them if you're walking, and they happen to be in front of your foot. You don't have to go out of your way not to step on them. But if you happen to be walking and stepping on them, then it's mutter. Dama Rabbi Yehuda, rope darsu lafi tumo. Just like we say, if there's some spit, some saliva on the floor, you don't have to walk around it. You could step on it, even though it's going to get smooth itself into the ground. And that's the malacha of choresh, because you're going to smooth it out a little bit, of smoothing out the ground in order to plant. So it's still mutter, just walking. Barav Shesh is nachash darsu lafi tumo. You're allowed to just trample a snake, just walking. Barav Chatino, akra darsu lafi tumo. And a scorpion, you're allowed to just trample lafi tumo as you're walking. So there's no raya from that Amora that you're allowed to directly kill, because maybe it just means that you're trampling on them by mistake. Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we pick up here. We talk about Amir Akum, and then Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow on Amid Beis, we start the parak of Kol HaKelim, which is the parak about Muksa on Shabbos. And the share today was Moshe Yecheskel ben Yehoshua. Amen.